You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are indeed back on VSiN's Primetime Action, live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip in Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could hang out with us tonight for a pretty massive sports night. Not quite a full slate of NBA games, but really the first night of NBA games, multiple games beyond two, that is, in earnest. NHL in action. We have a college football game, Coastal Carolina in action, and the Astros trying to add more runs against the Red Sox. Kelly with the live lines for all.
Yeah, starting in baseball, the Astros with that 7-1 lead. That game is now into the top of the eighth inning. Not much live betting to be done there left. Coastal Carolina out early. If you're betting the Fun Belt action tonight, Coastal Carolina up 7-0 on App State. 4 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Coastal Carolina, 9.5-point live favorite. 56.5 is your live total. Over in the NBA, Pacers all over the Hornets early, 57-44, 4:30 left in the first half. Pacers, 8.5-point live favorite, 234.5, your live total. The Pistons leading the Bulls, 35-31, 2.5 minutes left in the first half. Low-scoring affair there. Bulls are still a 1.5-point live favorite. 188.5 is your live total right now, gentlemen. That is a... That screams day one of the NBA season, that's for sure. The Celtics currently lead the Knicks. That is 24-20, 3:45 remaining in the first quarter. Knicks a 0.5-point live favorite, basically a pick 'em on the money line. 224.5 is the live total. Some stats in that game. Jaylen Brown out to a hot start. He's got 14 of the Celtics' 24 points. And Julius Randle hit two threes right away and then has gotten a little quiet for the Knicks. One other game going on right now, the Wizards on top of the Raptors, 18-16. That game with 3:45 remaining in the first quarter. The Raptors minus 125 on the money line. Wizards minus 105, 217.5 is the live total. And the one hockey game going on, Flyers up early, 1-0 on the Bruins. 6 minutes remaining in the first period. Flyers minus 150, Bruins plus 120 live.
All right, and for the Knicks fans out there, last year, of course, Knicks won 41 games in a 72-game season. Their season win total before the season started was 22.5. No team exceeded their season win total by more games than the New York Knicks. This year, their season win total before the season, 41.5. 41.5. Let's talk some football. Let's bring him in, former NFL player, and of course now a Yahoo Sports NFL analyst to talk some NFL with us. Coincidentally, Tank Williams, first time on the show. How you doing, Tank?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Tank, how does one get the nickname Tank? How did you get yours?
Man, I like to say it's because, you know, I'm just big and I'm a badass. But when I was a baby, I used to drink so much milk as a kid that my sister told my mom to give me a tank of milk. And somehow that stuck. But fortunately, I grew into it. And I was a tank on the football field. But yeah, it started off with a whole bunch of calcium, man.
Well, let me ask you about the game that is coming the closest to tonight, which, of course, is tomorrow night's Thursday night football game between the Browns and the Broncos. We heard today Baker Mayfield cannot go. Torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, and so as a precautionary measure, it's short week, can't play. And, of course, they're without their running backs, Chubb and Hunt as well. A lot of other guys questionable, including Jadeveon Clowney. They are a MASH unit. Teddy Bridgewater, also questionable for the Broncos as well, it should be noted. But as far as the Browns are concerned, how worried should Browns fans and Browns bettors be at this point? Is this code orange, code red? What are we at now?
Oh, man, code blue. I mean, they should be scared as hell. They should be beyond worried right now, because when you look at it from the Browns standpoint, you already talked about all the guys that are injured. You know, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. You have the offensive tackles that were out last week. Baker's going to miss this game. And even when Baker was healthy, he hasn't been able to connect with OBJ yet, and that's your most deadly weapon on the outside. Jarvis Landry is still on the shelf. You talk about Jadeveon Clowney. And that defense, which is supposed to be there to help, you know, that team stay in the games that the offense is struggling, what did the Chargers do to them? What did the Cardinals do to them? They lit them up. They ate them apart. So there's really not one phase of that team that I can say I really like right now, whether it's injury-related or just not playing well. And then we haven't even gotten to, Baltimore's in the division. The Bengals are coming on strong at 4-2. So there's not a lot of things going in Cleveland's favor right now. So it's going to be tough for them to get their act together, given all the injuries. And now they have a Broncos team coming in that's just as wounded, just as hungry, that has a pretty solid defense of themselves.
Tank, let's talk about a team that is near and dear to your heart, the Tennessee Titans, hosting the Chiefs. this week. Doesn't look like we're going to have Julio Jones on the field. We know Taylor Wan's not likely not to be out there as well. And listen, they got it done this past week. That said, not the most efficient offensive performance and all that. They find themselves 5.5-point underdogs to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, one thing, yes, the defense has been bad, but the offense is continuing to score despite the fact they keep shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over again with all these turnovers. Does that number not seem a little short? I mean, if you look at it, does it not seem like the Chiefs are going to be able to put up enough points on the board in order to be able to get it done?
So they have the Chiefs at -5.5?
Yeah.
And then what's the over-under on that?
Yeah, it's sitting at 57.5.
At 57, man, I mean, there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game. Because when you look at it from the standpoint, look what we saw last week where the Titans, even though they started off slow, they were able to put some points on the board against a really tough Buffalo defense. And that's the thing you have to understand. They started off slow because Buffalo was playing tight man-to-man defense where they didn't want Derrick Henry to run the ball. But when you play a defense like that, it allows those big pops like you saw with Derrick Henry in that first initial run. And then also it opened up some room in the pass game. Now, Kansas City on the other side, they're not going to try to do that. I mean, they're going to try to sit back, I would think, because they've been getting scores a lot in the run and the pass game. I mean, so I really don't know how Kansas City is going to try to defend them. That's why there's going to be a lot of points on the board. Because when you look at it, you try to give credit to Kansas City's defense, even though they stepped up and they kind of shut down Washington last week. But neither one of these defenses really want to play the ball. They can't stop the run. They can't really stop the pass. So I see both of these offenses just doing whatever they want to do, even though the Tennessee offense is going to be minus Julio Jones. So I try to come up with this narrative in my head, like what each team needs to do to stop the other. But honestly, neither one of the defenses is going to be able to do that. So just, hey, I'm just going over.
Tank, is there a team to this point that you think has perhaps underperformed and so might reflect some value in the futures betting market? What's a team that if someone was thinking, I want to get in on a team right now, maybe not to win the Super Bowl, maybe to win the conference, maybe to win their division, whatever it is, a team that you think will only rise from this point forward?
I mean, that's interesting. I mean, honestly, one team that we just talked about, that's the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I think everyone expects that because that offense is just that good. I mean, you look at they lead the league and turnovers are damn near close to leading the league, yet at the same time, when that offense is clicking on all cylinders, they can make up for so much. I mean, that defense would give up I don't know how many big runs and give up I don't know how many big pass plays. But when Patrick Mahomes turns into the third splash brother behind Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, he just goes into this different mode and, like, he's just unstoppable. And when you have a player like that on your offense, he can cover up all the other mistakes, all the other deficiencies that you have on your team. So I know that's an obvious choice, but then also – I don't really like looking at a macro level, just like if I'm looking at particular betting stuff. It's like on a week-by-week basis or game-by-game basis. And so I would look at, you know, a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers where they started off hot. I mean, they beat the Bills, then they kind of got off to a slow start because Big Ben is banged up. The team has been banged up. Now they're starting to find the run game a little bit. Najee Harris is starting to go. And even though they lost Juju Smith-Schuster, like, since Najee is gone, Deontay Johnson looking like a mini – like watered down version of Antonio Brown on the outside and then Chase Claypool on the other. So that's a team, given the matchups that they may have on a week-to-week basis, seeing that that defense is getting back healthy and they have Watt on the outside who can just change the game in the snap of a finger. I mean, that's a dangerous team that you look at a week-to-week basis and be like, okay, some people may be down on them because of the narrative that you hear in the media, but if they're clicking on all cylinders, they can get you a win.
Hank, we have the Cardinals as the last undefeated team in the NFL, and you listen to people, it's like, oh, the defense isn't really that good. This is smoke and mirrors. All the offense is going to regress. It's not going to be that good. Maybe Kyler's shoulder's hurt. Maybe, you know, whatever it is. Every single week, it seems like there's some reason why they're not going to go in. They continue to go in. They continue to go cover. They continue to do everything that we're asking of this team. What do you think the ceiling is for this Cardinals team? Like, are you to the point now where you're like, okay, these guys could actually contend for it all?
I mean, I've been at that point. I mean, the one thing that you have to understand in the NFL is that, I mean, you have some teams that are just bad, where you have, like, some bad players, like, in key positions or bad coaching. But for the most part, like, all these dudes were, like, the best cats on their college team, and all these dudes can play. Like, confidence and momentum is a hell of a drug in the NFL. And so people are trying to look at Arizona's schedule and saying, like, oh, you beat the Jags, and, oh, you beat the Titans, and they kind of slacked off from last year, so they're really not that good. Like, Nah, dude, like the Arizona Cardinals are really good. If you look at it, like they got a whole bunch of crowd pleasers on the outside. DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, Rondell Moore, Christian Kirk. Like not many teams afford deep like that. Now you add Zach Ertz to the mix. They can run the ball effectively with James Conner, and then they also have Edmonds as well. I mean, Kyler Murray is just that piece where whether he's using his legs or his arm, like, and he can stand in the pocket and pick you apart. Like, there's really nothing that he can't do with his game. And on the flip side, oh, they don't have a defense? Man, you got Chandler Jones coming from one side. You got J.J. Watt on the other. You got Isaiah Simmons, who's like the NFL version of Rick James. I mean, he's a super freaking cleats. Dude can cover tight ends. He can hound like mobile quarterbacks. He can cover like running backs out the backfield. You got some dogs in the secondary. So when I'm looking at this team, I'm like, really, like, where do they have deficiencies at? Like, they're really that damn good. And I feel like they can compete. Not saying that they're going to beat every team and go undefeated, but they can definitely compete with a team on a week-to-week basis. And more than likely, they're going to have the eyes on favorite to win the game, too.
Tank, real quick, because we only have 20 seconds. Your favorite bet week 7 in the NFL. It's a hard week, but against the spread, what team would you take here?
Oh, man, honestly, I haven't even looked at all those things yet. Like, I kind of get closer to it and wait till we get all the injuries and all the other stuff in tag. But I would say that if there's any kind of bet related to Derrick Henry and his rushing yardage or a number of carries against Kansas City, more than likely it's going to go over, because if you look at the way they attacked that Buffalo Bills, knowing that they were going to try to stop him with a tough defense and he still was able to kind of do what he did, he's going to definitely get it done versus the Chiefs.
A good answer on the spot. Tank Williams. Thank you, Tank. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Tank Williams, everybody, right here on the program. VSiN's Primetime Action. We'll come back. He brought up the Warriors. I'd like to talk about that Warriors-Lakers game last night, if you would.
Let's do it.
Prisoner of the moment. Takeaways after one game. We'll do that next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
First Bet wants to get you ready for the Breeders' Cup with a chance to win $1,000 in free bets. Go to VSiN.com/horses to enter for your chance to win. The grand prize winner will have $1,000 deposited into their account before Friday, November 5th, just in time for the Breeders' Cup. There are plenty of runner-up prizes as well. Sign up today at VSiN.com/horses. Terms and conditions apply. Go to VSiN.com/horses for more information. That's horses and not horsies, in case you were wondering. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. We're going to give our NFL power rankings here momentarily, but I want to talk about the Warriors' win over the Lakers yesterday. And just sort of the quick reaction, by the way, 7-point win for the Warriors, 121-114. Steph Curry, in his own words, yesterday said, "I played like trash." Played like trash to a triple-double, by the way, it should be mentioned. Lakers were 3.5-point pre-flop favorites. They lose outright. Warriors plus 135 on the money line. So my question, Matt, just real quick is, Lakers, you texted us last night. You put it together, right? Even without Klay, the Lakers outscored the Warriors from three. They held Steph to 5 of 21 shooting, 2 for 8 from behind the arc. So clearly an off night for Steph. They had AD and LeBron shoot 28 of 49 combined, and they lost by 7 at home. What's the bigger takeaway from one game for you? Was it the Lakers or the Warriors?
The biggest takeaway for me is that the Lakers are 0-1 straight up and against the spread when LeBron and AD both score 33-plus points. That's the biggest takeaway from this short season. No, I mean, look, it's – I know I don't want to overreact to one game either, but
– However.
But the – obviously the big thing you pull out of this is how much Westbrook struggled.
Yes.
And look, it is
– exactly.
It is but one game. It is the first game playing, you know, he's a California kid, LA kid, grew up, you know, went to school there, all this nine, you know, playing first time in the stadium that you dream of playing in. I get all how maybe some of that can be overwhelming and whatnot. So maybe I'll take a step back and not really try to judge this from one game. That being said, I think there's some legitimacy to what we were talking about the other day, and it's like, can he not be the guy off the bench? Like, can he not be the second guy? Can he not be I understand that hasn't been your role throughout the course of your career. You've also never played on the same team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis either. So maybe your role is to come off and like, help kind of anchor that second squad, kind of help kind of anchor that second group and let them do their thing and then you do your thing. But it did not seem, at least in small sample size, and we get it, the smallest of sample sizes, but it did not look like it was going to work the way that things were going on out there.
They'll figure it out, but it was far from being figured out last night.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know I was high on the Lakers coming in into the season. I don't read much into it last night. I think I look at a team that had literally two players on that roster last night that were there a year ago because, with just LeBron James and Anthony Davis, with Horton Tucker out being out last night. So you only those two guys that were on the roster last year. I look at it more, Russell Westbrook, I think everything you just said, they'll figure him out. I think the concern with them this season is more the other role players because you traded in a lot of defense, like Alex Caruso, who's now playing for the Bulls. You traded in guys like him for more offense. We didn't really see that last night. So that's more where I think you got to keep your eye on that over the next couple months. And then who knows? There's still the Lakers, so there's going to be veterans that they can add for the free agent minimum throughout the season. Who knows what they're doing before the trade deadline.
My takeaway also, I think the Warriors are going to be sneaky good. Jordan Poole, Bielitsa, who was drafted by the Wizards like over a decade ago in the second round, seems to be a guy who could be a key cog. We'll see. Should be fun. One game.
You just mentioned my biggest takeaway, Jordan Poole last night. That's a guy you're seeing develop before your eyes, and it looked like over the course of one offseason last night.
All right, it's time for NFL Power Rankings. Do we have a fancy intro, or we just go into them, Kelly?
We're just going into them.
The Warriors are 1-0. Straight up and ATS when Steph Curry shoots 2 of 8 from 3. If anyone was wondering.
Last triple-double 2016. Man.
He wasn't aware. He had no idea.
I watched 90+% of that game last night. I had no idea he was even close to a triple-double.
Yeah, I didn't either. Had no clue. Yet he did. He got it 21-10-10, I believe, for Steph. All right, Matt, you have honors.
We'll start with 10 and go up to 1. 10... I have a tie. I completely.
He's got 11 teams in his top 10.
Listen, unbelievable.
It's a tie.
We made all these rules for this, and then he gives me two teams.
Titans and Bengals at 10. No way for me to separate the two as far as that goes. So coming in at number 10, completely even are those two teams. Number 9, the Chargers. Number 8, the Packers. Number 7, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number 6, the Baltimore Ravens. Number 5, the Dallas Cowboys. 4, Los Angeles Rams. Number 2, the Buffalo Bills. Number 3, the Buffalo Bills. Number 2, the Arizona Cardinals. And then 1, the Bucks. Now, listen, we'll talk about kind of the top 5 here. It's only a downgrade for the Cowboys strictly because of the rise of the Arizona Cardinals here. So nothing that I saw or did see or whatever about the Cowboys that makes me want to bump them down anymore. As far as the Rams go, listen, it's a team that whenever you look at them, I think that they could easily be 1 when it's all said and done. They could easily be 8 when it's all said and done. It really is going to be on how healthy they can stay because we've talked about it before. They've been the healthiest team in the NFL so far. And when you can play without any injuries, it's easier to win games in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. The Bills, I thought that the defense might be a little bit more questionable. So here we saw the defense be a little bit more questionable, a little bit suspect. Got to bump them down a little bit for that. Cardinals rocket ship up because they just keep winning. That's all there is to it. And you cannot hold them down for too long when they just keep on doing it. And some of these other teams don't. Again, the Bills didn't do it, right? I mean, yes, it was a goal line stand. It is what it is. Like, they didn't get it done. And then the Bucks, just because, again, they're so multiple, right? This Bucks team is with Brady at quarterback, the way that he's playing, super incredible level. And they're doing this very, very beat up right now. They're only going to get way healthier as this season continues. And they're doing this as beat up as they are right now. So they go ahead and take the top spot for me.
Would you like to issue a verbal apology to Kelly Bidlin for his ranking Arizona number 1 last week?
Kelly, I still think it was egregious that you did it last week. But it is at least looks much better this week. Yes.
That sounded like a sort of apology.
I don't know if that was a great apology.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't know that he owes me an apology, but I'm with you, Gil. Could have been a little nicer.
Just want to throw it out there. All right, here are my power rankings. 10, I kept the Kansas City Chiefs right where they were last week. I don't think that win against Washington did anything to the good or to the bad for me. Patrick Mahomes got to be more careful with the football, and the defense Well, they probably shouldn't let two Washington wide receivers behind the entire defense for Washington's only score. Baltimore was not rated. I had them 11 last week. They're 9 now. The Titans, who I had at 9, was a bit ridiculed for that, having the Titans in the top 10. I move them up to 8. I do think they are the unicorn of the bunch with Derrick Henry. They are built differently from every other one of these teams, and I think they're a top 10 football team, and certainly on any given day can beat anyone. Green Bay's at 7. Dallas moves up a notch to 6, and you see it's very sort of my bottom half there. It's all because Cleveland got removed.
Yeah.
The Browns just have too many injuries to include them in the top 10
anymore. Think we all dealt with that. We all had the same top 10, except for Matt had 11, so he had 11. But it, you know, but we all share the same top 10.
What should be his punishment for that? He doesn't get to do a power rankings next week?
Isaiah didn't want to allow it. He was like, don't let it on the graphic. Make him choose one. I'm like, I wouldn't let it slide this week.
Number 5, I kept the Rams right where they were, again, beating the Giants. Sorry, Giants fans. I don't know that we learned much about the Rams last week as Daniel Jones and company loose with the football, to say the least. I had the Chargers first last week. I know. So I dropped them all the way down to 4. I'm not going to go too crazy in dropping them since they started from the number 1 position, but they certainly deserve to be dropped after just getting destroyed by the Ravens in that game. Cardinals move up. They're inching up. They're number 3. We all have the Cardinals top 3 now. Bucks 2, Bills 1. Just like with the Titans going up, I don't know that I feel any worse about the Bills after that loss than I did before. I just think that they very easily could have won that football game and didn't work out with the slip. So that's my list. And Kelly, now yours.
Yeah, run through mine. I mean, I'm going to start the opposite way. I'm going to start with the top 5 because I just
look at you.
I just think week 1
steady Eddie.
When we did this last week, and I looked at it this week, I'm like, man, I was so dead on accurate with it. Like, I just don't need to change anything. Like, there's nothing worth moving around here. I did say it last week. I'll be honest. I do think the Bills fall somewhere probably in the top 3, but it's easier for me to organize those NFC teams like that. And Bills might be better than one or two of them, but I think for the main part, that group of NFC teams is right up there. I do think the Bills clearly bet a step ahead of the Cowboys at absolute least, so I couldn't put them any worse than 4th. But I left them there even after the loss. Cowboys at 5. And then Chiefs move up. I just think it's just, you know, moving the Browns down, and how many teams do I really trust at the end of the day? I still trust the Chiefs' offense, and I don't know. I think there's question marks about every other one of these teams below it. Packers move up. Ravens move up. I can't deny that, but I still don't. I'm not going to trust them at the end of the day. And then we got the Chargers that moved down after that loss, definitely. And then Titans get back into my top 10.
With the exception of Matt's chicanery with the Bengals, we all have the exact same top 10 teams, just in different orders. That's amazing.
Yeah, we did. Yep.
We'll talk further about these.
Yes.
Some stuff to talk about.
There is.
Including the cliff that it drops off after number 11. We'll talk about that as well. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long. Hey, how about that? Including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC, that's Sports Betting National Championship, for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. Matt, you and I once participated.
We did.
In their inaugural Sports Betting National
Championship. Didn't make a run at that million, though.
We didn't, but boy, we had a moment.
There was a time.
Close.
There was a time.
Ooh. We will be doing some live cut-ins from out there. They will have...
Really?
Yes, we will have... VSiN will be on site, and they will be picking the minds of you two fine gentlemen who have competed in this.
Oh, really? I don't know. That costs. Come on, I don't know. Come on, Gil.
Have they asked our rate?
Come on, Gil. That costs.
A couple of things at baseball. One, the Astros have killed another night for unders bettors.
In the ninth.
That's right. 7 spot last night. It was 2-1 last night in the 8th, then 2-2 in the 9th. The Astros put up a 7 spot. And now tonight they have added a couple runs in the 9th, and it's 9-1 Houston. So this game will go over as they go to the bottom of the 9th. And 2 solo shots now for the Braves in the top of the 2nd with nobody out. I think that's back-to-back cracks right there. Rosario... has gone deep.
And then Duvall.
And then Duvall. So back-to-back jacks off Julio Urias. And it is 2-0 Braves with all the drama last night. That Cody Bellinger home run only becomes seismic if, in fact, the Dodgers can do something with it. The rest of the series doesn't start well for the Dodgers here. Top of the second, down 2-0. Back-to-back solo shots.
So, Gil, I have a bone to pick with you on yours.
Yes.
The Chiefs down at 10.
Yep.
Like, you could have, I mean, you're not picking the Titans over the Chiefs if they're playing tomorrow. You're not doing that.
I might. Yeah.
They actually played a few days.
You're not doing that.
No, I am.
They're 5.5 point. They're 5.5 point road favorites.
Because they're banged up, the Titans. The Chiefs took money because the Titans are coming off a short week. They're banged up. Listen, the Chiefs' defense, let's not be the prisoner of recency here. The Chiefs' defense still is awful. Don't let the Washington football team, don't let the smooth taste fool you there. They're terrible.
A book in our friends over at Circa, we have a studio over there, said your number one team and your number 10 team, if they played next week, in Arrowhead, the Chiefs would be 2.5 point favorites. On a neutral, it would be a push. It would be a pick 'em. So your 1 in 10 teams would be a pick 'em on a neutral field.
Right, but you're talking, again, let's define what our power rankings are. You're talking about a specific definition of a power ranking, and you're trying to impose it on me, and I will not be imposed.
in a point spread indicative of how good teams are?
No, let's go back to how we did this last week. You want to do it based on the market. Okay, that's your prerogative. You can do what you want to do. Did I make that up, or did somebody say that before me? Kelly does his a certain way, and mine is simply, who am I going to bet on neutral field when all teams are at full strength here coming up? And what I am saying to you is that the Buffalo Bills still check out to me right now pretty much against everybody as the team that has the slightest edge. And that's how I do mine. And that's why the Chargers, by the way, the biggest difference we have is not the Chiefs, really. The biggest difference we have is the Chargers. And the reason that I have the Chargers so high up there at 4 and you guys have them right around 9 is because I do believe there's a Brandon Staley element there that makes them the most volatile of all these teams. The going for it on fourth down can either be really, really good or really, really bad. And they're still a team that you have to think about when you're handicapping. That's why I have them at 4. I think highly of them, but I also know that they are fallible with that kind of decision-making, which, by the way, I support more often than not, but there are going to be games where it doesn't go their way. So just to answer your question, then back to that, we think of this differently, how we do our power rankings. I am not being, if I was just doing it by the market, then yes, I would have a different order, but that's not how I put mine together.
I guess, though, too, with what Matt's saying, though, Gil, if they're, let's say they may, that the Chiefs and Bills met tomorrow on a neutral field,
yes,
you would be betting the Bills.
Of course I would.
You would be all over the Bills.
Yeah, and you, who took the Cardinals number one last week, you subscribe to how I'm doing it,
right,
because
yes,
the Cardinals wouldn't be favored over many of
right,
these
but
teams.
I would be betting.
But you would be betting them, yeah. Your Honor.
I'm just, my mind is melting.
Wow.
My mind is melting in this. Maybe I don't know. I mean, it's all hypotheticals. It is. I mean, like, I,
by the way, this,
see
this could also explain why I've been doing so poorly in the NFL this year too. That could also be noted in this argument.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The Chargers were at 1 last week for you, and then they took quite a tumble.
If I came in with a top 10 that included like the Panthers and Washington, then you could really, maybe you should reconsider this. By the way, after 11 or 12, let's say after 11, like, who's your 12th team?
Browns, but it's like sucks because they're...
Okay, let me ask that again. Who's your 13th team?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Saints, probably.
There's a cliff right there, isn't there?
There's a cliff.
For sure.
Because then you're talking like Browns and Saints right now, today, right? Like the Saints are a better team, a little better, probably. But like the Browns, healthy? Like, I think there's a massive gap between those two teams.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns fell out of mine. I don't remember if you got guys had him up there.
They fell out of all of us.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like,
they, and I think rightfully so.
Because they fell out of all of them.
Well, because we have to, like, sooner or later, no matter how good you think the roster is, or, like, you have to deal with what they're dealing with today. And, I mean, like, what they're dealing with today is they don't have a quarterback, they don't have two tackles, they don't have key guys on defense, they're missing their two top wide receivers, it might be, coming this week with Odell and Jarvis being, I mean, like, at some point, two top running backs as well. So, I mean, you have to just assess the team as how they sit today. And, like, you know, the Browns, as high as I was on them coming in, I'm not going to make excuses. You bet on teams understanding that they might get hurt throughout the course of the year. And, you know, can they withstand that? Can they get past all that? I mean, look, like we're talking about with the Bucs. I mean, the Bucs have figured out ways to win games. They've been decimated in the secondary. Like, they have nobody they thought was going to be playing corner, and even for safety for a couple of these games, have been playing corner safety for these guys, and they figured out ways to win, and they figured out ways to get it done, and the Browns have not. So that's just, you know, it is what it is.
Like, I'm amazed that we came up with the same 10 teams.
Yeah, I think the one, I think the other thing that's interesting about that, Matt, is like, I think that there's no doubt this week who we all have the same top AFC team, and it's probably not even close, right? Bills. And then drop down whoever is your next in the AFC. Well, but then the NFC, we're all jumbled up different of what those top, you know, few teams look like. I think maybe the most interesting team that we all have in our top 10 is the Packers, because that's where I had the Chiefs. I leapfrogged the Packers with the Chiefs, put the Chiefs ahead of them, because I'm looking at both those teams. I'm like, I know what the Chiefs' problems are. I'm very aware of it. I know how good their offense is, though. The Packers is a team I'm just still unsure about. Like, we are 6 weeks into the season, and they're still a team that hasn't faced the fiercest competition. Well, and we're going to see that play out. They've got Washington at home this week, but then it's on the road at the Cardinals and on the road at the Chiefs. We're going to know a lot more about how good this Packers team is 3 weeks
from now. Well, in the reason for me that I kind of have them, again, in that second five and – it's an iffy for me, right? Even with where they're at.
We all have them in the
same. It's because no team on our list at all is so reliant on two players.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's so reliant on two players that if one or the other goes, that team is then falls below
100% what I was going to say.
15 or 16 range.
In fact,
right?
When we submit these to Kelly, and by the way, that's how we do it. We just make them on our own, then we submit them to Kelly. It's the one team that when you put them in, your brain immediately goes to those two players that you don't have that experience with any of the other nine teams. And there is that little moment where you're like, well, I just have to put them in. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to put them in the top five, but they're going to be in the bottom five of this, the 6 to 10, because they deserve to be.
And it just, and I can't help but shake that we're still fairly early in the season. And I can't help but shake to think that some of these defensive coordinators are going to figure out a way to scheme Devontae Adams out of the offense. And then now Aaron Rodgers is going to have to beat you with Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Randall Cobb and stuff. And, like, I just don't know if you can do that. Like, I just don't know how successful they're going to be in doing that. You know, and again, I could be wrong. Maybe they will figure it out all season long how to get him 37% target share and everything will be fine and the offense will roll up and down the field. But you just have to think that at some point you just go, if they beat us with these other guys, then they just beat us with these other guys.
Real quick, if we went all the way down to 32 universally is the Texans for all of us?
Absolutely. Yeah. Not even a question.
What is the strangest team to get into the bottom five that you would never have expected before the season? Would that be the Dolphins?
Dolphins, and I think the Bears are somewhere close to that bottom.
And they're 3-2.
That bottom one, bottom down there for me.
Yeah, but Bears,
they're somewhere hovering down there for me.
No, I think the Falcons would be in my bottom five, and that would surprise me the most.
Giants are in there. Sorry, Giants fans. Are the Jets in there?
Jets are in there for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Jaguars. Yeah, usual suspects. And the Dolphins are the most interesting, maybe the Falcons, and maybe the Bears. The Bears are 3-2, for goodness sakes, and they're certainly not out of the bottom 10, that's for sure.
Dolphins definitely the most surprising for sure.
I think so.
Didn't expect them to be a dumpster fire.
Yeah. And who knows about these Deshaun Watson rumors? If it was Tua's performance this past week in London that made them say, hey, enough is enough, maybe we should go after Deshaun, if you believe those reports. I'm not sure I do. We'll come back. We will talk to Preston Johnson, NBA from Yahoo. We'll do that next, right here at VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you hungry for a win? Compete for free with the College Football Prediction Pool presented by Bojangles. Make predictions for the Tennessee-Alabama game this weekend for your shot at up to $1,000 in cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Bojangles now to get in on the action. Bojangles, it's bow time. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, when we have this guest on the show, we always like to put a split screen up of him and our producer, Kelly Bidlin, because both really have well-groomed beards. So we like to do that. And here is that split screen right there. Look at that.
Well, I've always got beard envy of Preston, though. Like it's nothing compared to this. I mean, that's glorious.
You're working your way there.
If we're power rankings beards, Gil, I'm like a 5. He's number 1, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Preston Johnson, everybody, from Bet Labs. How you doing, Preston? Good to see you, man.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. How's life in L.A.? Everything you imagined it to be?
So far, so good, yes. Outside of the score of the Dodgers game right now at this current moment. Yeah,
yeah, 2-0 Braves again on back-to-back Jacks. Braves up in the best of 7 NLCS, 2-1. All right, what are your bets on that series? Before we get to basketball, what did you bet?
I thought there was value on the Braves before yesterday and to win the series. I think their -180 range was cheap. And then sure enough, looked like series was over before Bellinger hit, you know, the 5-foot-tall pitch over the wall. So that was the only thing I had really considered with this series. I'm mostly just rooting on the Dodgers. But at that point, I thought there was – let's get into it just for a second.
Please.
Urias pitches game 5 against the Giants. He pitches game 2 out of the pen for the Dodgers. You have, obviously, Trevor Bauer creep out, Dustin May hurt out, Kershaw out. Max Scherzer says, hey, my arm felt dead after the game the other day. They pulled me up to 4 innings because it just feels funny. Like, the pitching situation for the Dodgers is pretty devastating. And in a game now here, they start Urias, but they're going to have to use the bullpen more. They already used their bullpen game in game 1, and, you know, they've been overextending there. I just thought this was way too confident that the Dodgers could just go home to LA and win 2 or 3. So that's where I was at with this series. Unfortunately, just from a price perspective, it was too good.
Preston, you're a man of many talents. How much time are you spending in the sports betting streets compared to the crypto streets these days?
it's mostly just less sleep and time doing things that I used to enjoy, like don't golf anymore, things like that. I just try to do it all, man. But it's definitely a little, I have more flexibility now, no longer with ESPN. I'm not on TV every single day there. I'm not writing 4 articles a week. So it's allowed me to kind of dip my hands in a few other things.
Let's talk NBA slate tonight. By the way, CryptoPunks, you should probably look into that, Preston. Just a suggestion.
I'll take it.
NBA games tonight. What did you land on night 2 of the NBA?
A lot of it is started. I know the Pacers were up 20. They're already losing. LaMelo Ball just scored like 30 in the third, and it's not even over. I don't know if anyone's been following that insane little stretch. LaMelo might be the truth. That and the over were 2 that I looked at today. Boston, I thought, got cheap when it got to 2.5, considering Jaylen Brown had been announced playing. So that was something else, but also a late second quarter there. As far as the games that haven't tipped, I think 14 is a little tall for the Thunder, and it's ugly as can be. I also thought the 51.5s for the Jazz were too low as far as their season win total. But for whatever reason, look, they're going to be feisty. The Thunder aren't quite tanking until maybe December, January. Now's the time to take them when they're getting double digits with a pretty good young team. So I'll trust in SGA and Dort, and hopefully they can keep it within 14. But that's my biggest edge of the 3 remaining games.
Preston, it's Overreaction Wednesday, so let's go ahead and get yours in the Lakers situation and how things played out there. Look, I was saying, I get it, Russell Westbrook, first game, L.A. kid, played there in front of a crowd, all that stuff like that. Do you think it's more that? Do you think it's more a fit thing? Do you think it's more they're just going to need more time to figure out how to make this work? Do you think it's maybe he needs to go to the bench and come off and play with the second unit? What are you thinking here from the Lakers situation?
So if we're talking Overreaction Wednesday, this was me like 2 Wednesdays ago reacting to their preseason performances. and Russell Westbrook's like 0.29 points per possession and his 8 and 9 turnover games. Like, it was bad then. And the question is this, and there was a report like 2 months ago. It's like Anthony Davis is finally going to be okay with playing the five. He's never really played center, or at least liked it as much. The teams he's been on, they've always been better when he's playing center. So the thought was, okay, maybe you can make an argument for Russell Westbrook coming in to play alongside AD and LeBron, because they're going to have two spots for shooters. And they tried to bring in some shooters, right? Bazemore, Monk, Nunn. They bring back THT, Ariza. Now, three of those five guys are already hurt, so that's an issue. They signed Avery Bradley like 2 days ago, and he was playing crunch time minutes last night. But here's the real problem. They start DeAndre Jordan at center. So that whole argument's like out the window now that you have Russ, DeAndre Jordan, AD, and LeBron with one shooter you're hoping might work in like Bazemore or Bradley. That just neither of those guys are actually shooters. It's rough, man. I don't know if it's, yeah, the whole, it might take till January thing for sure. But their season win total, the 52.5 to 53.5 range, was just way too high. And we're anticipating LeBron and AD load management health wise to, they're not going to be 100% the entire way. They never usually are anymore anyway. It's going to be a while, man, and I'm not sure there's really any moves they can make or how it's going to fit. I think the questions, the overreactions are valid. They were kind of overreactions before we even saw last night's game. The Warriors getting 3.5 plus 145 out of those were good bets, and luckily paid off last night.
Talking to Preston Johnson, you can follow him on Twitter at SportsCheetah. Preston, I'll just sort of give this an open-ended question for you here, which is what's the take? Maybe it's in basketball, maybe it's in the NBA, maybe it's in college football. What's the take that you have right now that appears to you, at least anecdotally, to be the most contrarian of conventional wisdom right now? Is it about a specific team in either of those sports? Is it a bet perhaps reflected in a wager?
I wish you had asked me a few. Oh, here's one. Okay, they haven't played yet. I'm checking, making sure. The San Antonio Spurs. Everyone says they're going to stink. Highest paid player on the roster is like $15 million. 28.5. I know some places is 29.5. Like, there's no way Popovich is just punting this season away. I'm pretty confident about that, especially if it's his last season. They still have competent players, even though DeJounte Murray is the guy that makes $15 million. He's the leading guy. Derek White's competent. We've seen him make runs into 7-game series against Jokic and the Denver Nuggets in the past in the playoffs. Keldon Johnson was playing with the Olympians, the Olympic team. I think he's going to take a step up. They bring in Doug McDermott, Rudy Gay, I feel like one or two other guys that I'm forgetting. Poeltl's a great centerpiece for center to rim protect on defense. I think the loss of DeRozan and Aldridge getting overblown. This is a team that won 33 games last year in a shortened season. The year before that, they won 32. They can't get to 29 this year out of 82 tries with Popovich. I'm like the one guy that I guess is still saying Popovich makes a difference, and I believe in a team whose best player only makes $15 million, which I think there's some data if you go back. Similar roster constructions definitely don't perform very well in that type of situation. They did lose Patty Mills, who went 7 for 7 from three last night for the Nets in his debut there off of the bench. But that's one, I guess. Everyone hates Clemson this year. Just bet them against Pitt. I don't know. I can't say much else. Just take it. It's ugly, but...
Preston, everyone likes to look at the NBA awards market, and of course, the this time of year is the MVP. Luka, the super short shot here. I don't know if you have any bets in your account on this, but certainly you've given it some thought. Is there a player out there that you think could kind of emerge out of nowhere to where maybe you wanted to get on them kind of early now because the number is so long?
MVP, no. So I know you guys just put up the MVP odds graphic. I got nothing there. To be completely honest, it's probably just going to be Giannis. And so maybe 8-1 after what looks like his hitch somehow disappearing. And maybe he can actually shoot now. That's consideration there. But there's a ton of great options. I think James Harden was like 25-1, 20-1 range. Tatum, 30-1, 25-1 range, maybe. What I really like, and you can still, I checked just in case before the show, Chris Duarte, Rookie of the Year, it was 50-1. He scored 16 in the first half. LeVert's out. TJ Warren's out. Like, who knows when they're actually going to be back. I think Chris Duarte 24, 25 years old already, probably the most NBA ready of any of the rookies on a Pacers team that I think was a little undervalued entering the season. Hurry embedded at still like 35-1 some places right now, despite this first half. That's the main one. And Patty Mills, sixth man of the year. Go bet that as well. He's probably coming off of the bench 41 plus times, and he'll be the winner.
Patty Mills and maybe Jordan Poole making a statement last night for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, a little local homerism there. Hold your horses a little bit. He was great last night, though. Came through for us. But Mills is going to, I think, take this one.
Guilty as charged, Preston. Guilty as charged. Preston Johnson, everybody, at Sports Cheetah. And, of course, you can check him out at Betts Media. But all that he does at Sports Cheetah on Twitter. Thank you, Preston. Great to see you, man.
Yep. Take care, guys. See you.
Preston Johnson, rep in L.A.
JVT on Chris Duarte for a rookie of the year as well. And then Drew Dinsick backing up the Spurs on the over window.
That's right. Little matching going on. Let's talk Thursday Night Football. Browns, Broncos. This is a mess. We'll talk about it next on VSiN's Primetime Action.